Good morning. Such a wonderful day that our Lord has blessed us with. Another day of life, another opportunity to assemble here to worship Thee in song and study God's Word. I handed out a worksheet to several of the young kids, so if any of the older young kids would like to have one, there are some here on the front pew, and I can have them delivered, but they go along with this family. Now, one person saw this and thought what we were talking about, the harvest of a certain crop. We're not going to do the harvesting, but God will do the harvesting at the end of the time, and you'll understand that eventually. On the worksheet, there's a place where you can write down the problem of this particular family that we're going to be talking about, and then also where a scripture can be placed to determine how we can solve the problem. Now, the problem that we're going to solve is not how we can destroy the problem family member, but how we can help ourselves in encountering this particular family. Before we begin, though, I want to define the word beware. Beware means to be cautious and alert to the dangers that may be near or are approaching. Opening our eyes to danger. We as parents and grandparents, we do this quite often when our children are out and about, and we always want to make sure that our children are safe and without danger. And so we keep a watchful eye on who's around them and where they're going. And so it is with the church. Elders have that same responsibility of the Lord's family to feed and to guard the flock. In Acts the 20th chapter, verses 28 through 31, it says, "Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves." And he concludes by saying, "Therefore, watch." We as children must also be watchful for false prophets which come to in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. This could happen outside this building, and we need to be aware of that. We need to be aware of the dogs, vicious people, and beware of evil workers, as it's stated in Philippians the 3rd chapter and verse 2. In Colossians the 2nd chapter and verse 8, we're told to beware, or watch out, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. So, we can be encompassed by so many different variables that can cause us to stray away from Christ. There can be people coming in and forcing a different thought towards salvation. They could be coming in and trying to coat it with sugar to make it sound good and promising. But we need to be aware. 2 Peter, the 2nd chapter, in the first 3 verses says, "There were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring them upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not." This is just letting us know that it has happened and it will happen, and we need to be aware of it. We need to be cautious of those that come around us and try to present a different religion. try to present a different action, try to present different ways that are contrary to what is spoken of in God's Word. 1 Corinthians 15 chapter, Paul told the Corinthians, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." The false prophets and teachers' motives are to deceive you. But for their good. The scribes puff themselves up for their notoriety. The Pharisees, through their hypocritical ways, said one thing and did another. The dogs and the evil workers, they devoured people for their own benefit. So, in light of these many warnings, it would be to our best interest to be on the lookout. So, beware. I'd like to tell you about a family that could and may have already moved into the area. If we're not careful, we can be taken in by them so easily. The first family that I'd like to mention is the spectator. This family member is one that is content to just sit back and watch others do the work of the church, just attending from week to week, watching and filling a seat. This person is not interested in assisting in the worship service, not interested in assisting in Bible classes, or even helping those who are struggling spiritually in life. Not only will this member be watching, but is often complaining and criticizing and offering no help in the growth of the church. They're just content to sit and influence others to remain stagnant in the work of the church. Such a sad problem that the church has to deal with. Have you seen the spectator? If so, what's the solution for this type of person that we need to consider? In 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter and verse 58, says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." You see, there will be spectators, always spectators, but we need to be always abounding in the work of the Lord. We need to be steadfast. We need to be workers. We need to strive and have a drive of wanting to do that which is helpful and growing for the Lord and for the church. Don't be a spectator. A spectator will hinder the growth of this church. This next family member we need to be cautious of is the agitator. This member will constantly be stirring up trouble in the congregation. This person will be whispering among the brethren, making false accusations or rumors against others, saying all kinds of harsh things against the brethren, especially when he or she doesn't get their way, and ultimately hurting and turning brethren from the faith. This is so easily when someone comes in and just starts complaining and criticizing and making harsh statements, that you feel like you're being attacked, and so you're going to slip down and not defend yourself or even stand tall and raise up God's word. This is what the agitator will do. This should remind us of Paul and Barnabas as they were preaching at Paphos, and they found a sorcerer in Acts the 13th chapter, verses 8 through 10. Elymas the sorcerer, for so his name was by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy of the faith, or Sergius Paulus. And then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, "O fool, O fool of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord?" What can we do? With the word of God in our hand, we can, as Romans the 14th chapter and 19th verse says, pursue the things which make for peace, and the things by which one may edify one another. In Ephesians, the fourth chapter, in verse 29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. We show peacefulness and edification and impart the grace of God to those round about us and to anyone that wants to be an agitator. Because the agitator will hinder the growth of the church. And if we can show peacefulness and edification, that may soften his attitude. The next member of this family is called the devastator. This person is one that is always tearing down the church in his pernicious ways and never building up. He or she doesn't have a kind word for the brethren. He or she is always sour in their attitude and complains about everything. This person's tongue is a living fire, destroying everything that comes in contact, and this person's only desire is to be raised above everyone else. Not sure if you realize this, but some of these people have a lot of pride, and they want everyone to look at them and put them on a pedestal. And so what they do is devastating to the church. James, the third chapter, verse 6 says, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. With God's word in our minds, with God's word in our presence, we're reminded to, in Titus, the third chapter, to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, and be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceful, gentle, showing all humility to all men. Now, these are good characteristics that we can do, that we can use to withstand the devastator. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, and verse 32 says, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. This next family member is the lamentator. This is the person that makes you feel like you're walking on pins and needles when you're with them. This person wears a chip on their shoulder and gets their feelings hurt constantly. This person is the church choir, crier. Woe is me, this person's actions present. It's their everlasting cry. This person has nothing good to say about their life, and everything wrong happens to them. And if you believe them, it's the worst cold, it's the worst pain, it's the worst headache, it's the worst trial of anyone. Woe is me, is the lamentator. As we read of the children of Israel, we find that they were a lot like the lamentator. They were complaining and whining over everything, not only to Moses and Aaron, but to God. In Exodus, the fifth chapter, they complained of all the hard work that they were being given in Egypt. In the 14th chapter, they were complaining that they were being left to die in the wilderness. In the 15th chapter, they were complaining that they were thirsty. In the 16th chapter, they were complaining that they were hungry. And this is just to name a few. And we know God took care of them, even through all their complaints. So what's the solution for us? Let's remember that in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. We're all going to be tempted. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. God will always be present. God will always help us in our troubles and our trials. We just need to remember that. In Philippians, the 4th chapter, and verse 11, says, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content." That was Paul telling the Corinthians, or the Philippians. He was willing just to be content with what he had. He was in need. He had trials. He had a thorn in the flesh. But yet, he didn't let it get him down. He didn't let anyone else get him down. Philippians, the 2nd chapter, verse 14, tells us, "Do all things without complaining and disputing." We must realize that we're going to confront trials and temptations, but we have an avenue of escape. And he has told us that we would not endure hardships more than what we can bear. We need to be content. We need to be patient. And we need to be ready to help others and show brotherly kindness and love to them, as we're not the only ones that have trials and temptations. So I say again, beware of the lamentator who hinders the growth of the church. This next member of this family is dictator. Dictator is dictator in his pride is constantly striving to be the leader, no matter who he pushes around to get there. He dictates who enters the church, how the church is run. He dictates who comes and who stays. He dictates what is taught and not taught. He dictates what's comfortable to him only. Paul warned the brethren of a man like this in 3 John, the 1st chapter, in verses 9 and 10, when he said, "I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words. And not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbidden them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God." Paul realized that there's going to be people such as the dictator. Our attitude is to follow not the evil way, but present goodness, present godliness. Proverbs, the 16th chapter and verse 18, says, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." The dictator, is going through his pride, is going to fall into destruction. So what's the solution for us? 3 John, the 1st chapter and verse 11, says, "Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil is not seen God." Proverbs, the 29th chapter and verse 23, says, "A man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor." We need to follow not evil. We need to show humility. We need to show servitude to God alone. So beware of dictator who hinders the growth of the church. This next family member is commentator. This person is full of advice, whether it is right or wrong, full of comments, and knows everything about everything and everyone. If you don't think so, just ask him. This person controls the discussions, whether he is right or whether he's wrong. And many times he becomes wrong. This person has a comment on every given subject, and usually it's for his benefit. What's his benefit? So that he can puff himself up and say, "Look at me, look what I know." It's to glorify himself. This person is extremely puffed up over just how much he knows. Proverbs, the 17th chapter and verse 7, says, "Excellent speech is not becoming to a fool, but less lying lips to a prince." Mark, the 12th chapter, verses 38 through 40, says, "Then he said to them in his teaching, 'Beware of the scribes who desire to go around in long robes, loves greetings in the marketplace, loves the best seats in the synagogues and the best places at feasts, who devour widows' houses and for the pretense make long prayers. These will receive greater condemnation.'" Talking about the scribes, they were all for show. They loved to have the glory, to be seen of men. What's the solution for us? 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, in verse 11 says, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever." Where's the glory to go? It's not to go to me. It's not to go to you. The glory must go to God. We need to speak only as God have us to speak and give God that glory. So beware of the commentator. This next family member is called the imitator. This person does whatever the crowd does or says, whatever the preacher says, whether it's right or wrong. The Bible is seldom needed. The Bible is never opened, hardly. This person is weak in God's Word. Why? Because the person doesn't study. And this person follows every wind of doctrine that comes along. Paul tells us that this child needs to grow up. In Mark, the 15th chapter and verse 15, says, "So Pilate, wanting to gratify the crowd, released Barabbas to them, and he delivered Jesus, and after he had scourged him, to be crucified." Pilate wanted to just please the crowd. That was his interest. By pleasing the crowd, it also puffed him up. Ephesians, the 4th chapter and verse 14, Paul tells the Ephesian brethren that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful pleasure. Although not to imitate evil, we are to imitate Christ, as Paul told the Corinthian brethren in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 1 and 2. He says, "Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions just as I deliver them to you." We also find in Matthew, the 6th chapter, that we are to seek first the kingdom of God. We need to have this as our full direction, as our drive, and not following after someone else just because someone else's looks better than us. We need to seek first the kingdom of God. In Acts, the 17th chapter, we're told to search the scriptures daily, just as the Bereans did. In 2 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, in verse 15, we're told to study, to show thyself approved unto God. These are all what is helping us to work out our own salvation. This is what we are directed to do, to keep us in the lead and not being a follower. We must grow in truth so as not to be influenced by the likes of the imitator. So beware of the imitator. Last but not least, there is another member of this family called hesitator. This person knows what to do, but takes his or her good old time about doing what he knows is right in the sight of God. This person constantly is saying that he will be obedient tomorrow, and when tomorrow comes, he puts it off to another day. This person will not take a stand for the truth. This person is content to be like the spectator and just sit. This person doesn't see any urgency to being obedient to the truth. but feels tomorrow will be a more convenient day, and I might have more time then. I might be ready then. We read of two men that were like this. In Acts, the 24th chapter, verse 25, says, "And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, 'Go thy way for this time, for when I have a convenient season, I will call on thee.'" Felix was putting this off. He was a hesitator. Acts, the 26th chapter, in verse 28, Agrippa said to Paul, "You almost persuade me to become a Christian." What's our solution to this? Acts 4 and verse 12. "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men which by which we must be saved." We must remember that that is our goal, and salvation should be in our forefront. 2 Corinthians 6, chapter and verse 2 says, "In an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Salvation comes from God and God alone. Salvation is available to each and every one of us. All we have to do is reach out and grasp it. We must be obedient to God's word. We must be prepared. We must take the initiative and the desire to seek salvation. Everyone in the Tater family will hinder the growth of the church and will find themselves in a world of woe. Titus 1 and 16 says, "They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and every good work reprobate." 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verse 17 says, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware." Look out. Watch out. Be prepared. "Lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked," or the error of the Tater family, "you fall from your own steadfastness." So what have we learned? We need to be steadfast, unmovable, abounding for the Lord. We need to be peaceful and build up the church. We need to be kind, tender-hearted, loving, humble, and forgiving. We need to be happy and content. We need to be respectful and considerate to God's law. We need to speak the truth always, imitate godliness, and we need to be obedient and faithful to God's word. If you haven't been obedient to God's word, you have the opportunity now to start an active and obedient life right now by repenting of your sins, confessing Christ, and being baptized this very day. Don't put it off, for the remission of your sins. If your life has been relative to the Tater family, now is the day to correct your life and begin working again for the Lord this day. Where do you stand today? Prepare yourself before it's everlasting too late. While together, we stand and sing.